Man, if you would in your Bibles this morning, turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, and we'll take a little time here to reminisce and think about a few things and appreciate the gifts this morning. And it's hard to believe 12 years has passed, and it's amazing how time flies when you're having fun and also when you're busy, you know. And we met for the first time in August of 2000, and in a home. Had about 41 people present. The first Sunday morning we met Haslett here at the Haslett Center downtown, and had 68 people there, and met in another home of members for a few weeks on Wednesday night, and met in Keller for a little bit, and then finally ended up at Lake Worth at a storefront. And the reason why we ended up in a storefront in Lake Worth is because there was nothing out here to meet in. And the school at that time was wanting $300 an hour. School's not much better now. We met over there for 3 weeks while this building was being built, and there's still like almost $400 for a Sunday morning. Anyway, that's where your tax money's going, by the way. Anyway, I know it costs to run the electricity, but so we couldn't meet out here. It was just financially unfeasible, but we knew this is where God wanted us to be, and so we met over in Lake Worth and Storefront for 3.5 years, and Mr. Riley, who's still here this morning, amen, putting up with us for 12 years. I don't know how you do it, Mr. Riley, but you've been putting up with us that long, and what a blessing that building was. Remember the first time we met there? In fact, the first few weeks we were there, we had one bathroom with a one-holer, and it was something, and we had the opportunity there to remodel that storefront, and along with Mr. Riley's help, he did a bunch of plumbing. Amen. And put in two very, very, very nice bathrooms. And so but God continued to bless. And we bought this property here in July 20th of 2001. So just about 10 or 11 months after we started, we bought the property. And God blessed that. And we ended up on the mineral rights to it and 17 and a half acres here. Just amazing how God provided this property for us. Yeah. Our first missionary was put on in October 29th of 2000. Just a couple of months after we started, with Brother Daniel Coates, missionary to Guatemala, and we're still supporting him today, him and his wife and family. And then we outgrew the storefront, and we moved out to Norris, to the Norris Baptist Bible Seminary out in White Settlement, further away from Haslett. I don't know what we was thinking. Hindsight's 20/20. But anyway, we moved out there and continued to go forward in building this building, or the building behind us. And in May of 2006, we were able to get into the building behind us. And there have been a lot of great times when the building of this building behind us, there was a few trials as well, maybe more than a few. And God saw us through those things. And then in November of last year, we got into this building, the new auditorium. What a blessing it's been. And already, and we got the mini blinds up this week, and they look nice. And some of you who've been dealing with the sun, I don't think it's going to help you, Brother Schuler, at some point. Now, during the summer, we're fine. It's not going to shine through, I think. But next winter, we got to get something up on that big deal, or it's going to impact the people behind you. But we continue. God's continued to bless as we continue to go forward. And this building project was amazing. So much better than last time. I can't even tell you the difference between 2006 and 2012, when the project went so amazingly smooth, and just adding the 112 parking places, which was nice, and just continue to see God bless and continue to see families come and visitors here that are here this morning. And we're so glad you're here to celebrate this time with us. And it's just moving right along. And Brother Wiggins already recognized the members here from the beginning. But there are so many of you who are still here with us, and what a testimony to you that through the good times and the bad times, you stuck with it, and we stuck with it, and we got to see the fruit of our labor. Amen? And what a blessing. And all I can do is keep saying what a blessing, because that's what it is. God's blessing, amen. God's blessings upon us and upon our church. And I said this to somebody yesterday. This land was appraised, just the land, without the buildings, without the improvements, was appraised at, I think, $1.9 million. And we paid $250,000 for it 12 years ago. And we couldn't afford to buy the property and build today. This church couldn't do it right now. And God had His timing. I mean, just everything, how God blessed that. And that's only because of Him. You can't explain those things. They absolutely guided and directed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate you. We appreciate our member. We appreciate our church family. And as I said in the newsletter that went out this last week, I'm just at that stage where I enjoy about once a year going through. That's why I like the cards. I like the stuff the kids make up. Miss Forte last month made up a little plate with the kids' footprints on it in her class. And those are the things I look back on and see. And I went back through some of the ones even from a long time ago. And, way back, even with Lakeland Baptist, and look at some of those cards, and some of those guys now are married and have five kids, you know. It's amazing. I am appreciative of God allowing me to pastor this church for 12 years. It's, and then, of course, with some of the group, some of the people have been with for almost 18 years. It's hard to believe that, and God's been so good to us. Here we go. Amen. Looking forward to this next year and what God has in store for us. In light of our theme this year, standing firm in the faith, I have a message I want to preach this morning. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. We're not going to take this as an expository message. I'm not going to take the paragraph or even really give you much background. Just knowing that Jeremiah, the prophet's writing this, that he's writing in a time and warning the nation of Israel. He's warning them. They have turned their back on God. They have gone backwards. And he's just basically saying, hey, turn back to God. Turn back to God. Remember where you came from. And it is good for us to remember where we came from. It's good for us to look back and say, hey, here's the storefront. And I got the box in my office. I didn't bring it out on purpose this morning. A little box in my office that has paper clips and all the first visitor cards we had. And that's what we started out with, a little box. We had church in a box. We put it in the back of the truck, and we all went from place to place for a little while. Psalm books. We had still got those psalm books around here somewhere. But it's good to look back because it reminds us of where we've been and where God has brought us. And there is no other explanation for what we have here in Haslett. I'm talking about the facilities we have and what God has given. It's God. It just can't be explained. Financially, it can't be explained. Only God can do something is what we see here today. And so it is good to look back. And so Jeremiah is just reminding them of some things. He's reminding them, hey, they had turned their back on God. He said, hey, look back. And now turn back to God. Look at verse 16. I'm only going to read one verse. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I almost preached the whole chapter, and I will do that at some point. This is a tremendous chapter in the book of Jeremiah. But this morning, for the sake of time and other things, I just want to remind you again that the old ways, that we shouldn't give up the old paths. You know, today it's like, let's just throw everything out. A lot of churches just throwing everything out, say, hey, let's jump on the new bandwagon and new stuff and new down the line. Let's look back and remember. God's blessed the old paths. And God will bless us as we continue to stay on the old paths. Let's pray. We thank you this morning, God, for the opportunity to meet together. We thank you for the 12 years that you've given us and what a blessing it's been and to look back and see what you have done. We thank you for those who've come out this morning. We pray that you would just be with us. Help us to be reminded of our past. Lord, I'm reminded or think about our present, but Lord, we're looking forward to a glorious future. I pray this morning that each of us, as church members especially, would continue in the old paths. We ask this in your name. Amen. As we think about church growth today, I get article after article, pamphlet after pamphlet, email after email from various associations and various conferences about how to build a church, how to build a church. They just say the old way doesn't work anymore. So here's the new way to build a church. Here's a new way to build up God's kingdom. And I would tell you 99% of it I throw in the trash. Because the old way still works. And I'm going to describe that for you this morning. They just say, hey, the old paths don't work anymore. We need a new program. They feel like, you know, we just need something new. They say you'll run everybody off or hurt somebody's feelings if you continue to preach the old paths and the old fundamentals of the faith. That's not true. They say you have to compromise a little and bend here a little. And you have to be seeker-sensitive. That is the new key term in our day and age. And, you know, you have to placate to the crowd. You have to find out what your neighborhood wants, do a survey, figure out what they want, and then accommodate the people of the particular group or the particular neighborhood or particular city, and find out what they want, and then make your church accommodate them. We're not to be seeker-sensitive. We're to be Christ-sensitive. We're not here to make you feel good. We're here to glorify God. And certainly we want to be kind. The Bible says preach the truth in love. And we certainly want to do that. But at the same time, we want to preach the Word of God without compromise. We want to continue going forward in the old paths. You can go forward. You don't have to go backward in the old paths. You can go forward in the old paths. Listen, we can continue to do what we're doing from here to eternity, because what we're doing is what our forefathers did. It's changed very little. And we want to continue down that line. We don't have to bend and bow to the pressure of today and the society to today. You don't have to put together a production for a church service on Sunday morning in order to get a crowd and entertain the crowd in order to get them here. I said this other night, and I want to say it very kindly as I can, but if you took the program out of most churches, and if you took the music out of some churches, most of the people wouldn't show up. So we're going to describe this morning a little bit about the primacy of preaching, how God intended for the pulpit to be the center focus of the service. Jeremiah again, 6:16. Remember, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. The old paths are the best way. The old revivals are the best way. I've been encouraged and blessed to have read Sam Jones's biography here of late, and one of the great evangelists of the late 1800s. I love to read old biographies. I love to hear and read about the old-time revivals and how God blessed in the past, D.L. Moody and many others, and how God used those. The best revivals were the old revivals. And we've seen some today in this day and age, but very few. I enjoy our missions conferences. I think our missions conference may be our best meeting. I enjoy our stewardship conference. I enjoy our revival meetings. I enjoy our Bible conference with Brother Stewart. What a blessing. And we need to remember that these revival times, these times of meeting together and hearing a concentrated days of listening to the Word of God preached, you go back and you read about the old biographies and the old revivals, and you hear about the revivals lasting weeks. Not 4 days, but weeks. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 30 days, 40 days, 50 days, 60 days. Oh, that we could have that kind of meeting. I tell you what, Brother Stewart, sometimes I'd like to hang out with him some more. Some of you would agree. I'd love to hear him preach. And we need that old-time revival. The old-time revivals were the best ones. The old-time preaching is the best way. The old-time Bible singing is the best way. Christ-honoring music is the best way. Hymns are the meat. Choruses are the cake. And so we treat them as such. We treat the hymns. They're Bible doctrinally based. We treat them that way. They're the meat of our music service, and the choruses are the cake. I enjoy cake. As you can tell, I enjoy cake a lot. Especially red velvet cake with that white icing on it. It's amazing. But if you just eat cake, you're not very healthy. If you just eat cake, you're sickly. The old-time singing is the best way. The old-time Bible praying is the best way. The old-time church building programs are the best way. The old-time religion is the best way. It's the best way. Our church is never going to be for everybody. I know we got a lot of visitors this morning. I realize what I'm doing. But our church isn't for everybody. We know that. And we get up here, we sing the old traditional hymns. We love them. I think we sing them vibrantly. I don't think they're dead when we sing them. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. I can sing that, woo, and I can rejoice in my heart just as good as I can sing, I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. That's a chorus. I enjoy both, but boy, I love the old hymns. And as long as the pastor here, we won't get away from them, being the center focus of the music at our church. The hymns, the old hymns are the best way. Again, our church isn't for everybody. We pray that everybody would join. We'd love for everybody to come be a part of our church family, and we welcome everyone. We certainly don't leave anyone out or want to leave anybody out. But we realize in this day and age that our kind of church is going by the wayside. In fact, I've been told that I'm a dinosaur. I said, that's fine. I'll keep doing it. I don't care. Call me a dinosaur all you want. But I see churches all across the nation who are just like us, conservative, traditional, down the line, Baptists who are growing, churches that run 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000, 12,000. So you can't say that churches are of our type are simply going by the wayside. There are many churches that are still vibrant, still growing. And if I was to say to you, why is our church growing? What would your key ingredient be? Say, well, this or that or whatever. I'm practical reason. I understand God does it all. God gives the increase. But practically speaking, this church stays by the stuff, stays by the old paths, and grows because it works. Now, I'm not talking about because it works. I'm talking about because we work. I get that all the time. People say, preacher, you are busy over there. Amen. Absolutely, we're busy. We're busy about the Father's business. And many of the churches today who are traditional and who are like us are not growing because they're not working at it. I'm just sick and tired of seeing it. And they say, preacher, what y'all doing over there? Well, we're working. You know, we're staying and stuffing eggs on Sunday night. We're working at it. We're just working at it. Now that I got that off my chest, let's go on. I'm glad the Lord gives the increase. Amen? We work, He gives the increase. If you work and go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, He will bless that every time. I'm just reminded that where we were 12 years ago is where we're at today. If you were to take a snapshot of our services 12 years ago, very little difference than it is today. Same songs, same specials, same preaching. Preacher's gotten a little older, bigger, and balder. Same preacher. God's good. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Jude 3, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We need to contend for the faith. We need to stand by the stuff. We need to stand firm in the faith. We need to stand. And when we've done all, stand some more. Stand. Stand for what? Stand for evangelism. Evangelism, the Bible says, go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in. They said they went out two by two. We need to go out into the streets. We need to remember that soul winning is the main thing. That winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing. Preaching the gospel is the main thing. That's the main thing of the church. Our purpose is to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to see people get saved. Well, somebody said that could be done a different way. And you've got to give them the gospel. You can't take the gospel to the wrong door. You just got to continue to carry the gospel. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servants, go out in the highways and hedges and invite them to come in. It says compel. Amen. Compel. That my house may be filled. Compel. It means we ought to be a little energetic about it. Inviting our neighbors, inviting our friends. We ought to compel them to come in. Compel them to come to church. Compel them to hear the Word of God preached. Compel them to be here. That is our purpose as individual Christians. Soul winning is the number one business of the church. It is. If we have a fall festival, yes, our kids are going to have a great time. Absolutely. We're inviting visitors. They're going to have a great time. But my goal is to give them a visitor's packet that has the gospel in it. Right? Our goal is to give them a visitor's packet that has the gospel in it. So that, because soul winning is our number one business. Not fellowships. I enjoy fellowships. I enjoy, you know, many other social things about our church. But that is not the main thing of the church. The main thing is winning people to Jesus. We must be about the Father's business. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. We need to be about soul winning. Growing churches are being built all across the nation, doing it our way, staying by the old paths, when they are based upon soul winning. When they're based upon soul winning. That means continue to get out and invite people to come to church. Continue to get out and leave a flyer on the door. Continue to go out and compel people to come in. Everybody okay? All right, making sure everybody's still awake. We need to stand, not only stand for soul winning, but stand for Bible preaching. I appreciate the opportunity to preach in this pulpit every Sunday. I appreciate that you listen and that you give me liberty to preach what the Lord lays upon my heart. And sometimes it's not very popular to preach what I preach. Most churches today have traded their pulpits in for therapist couches. They have. They no longer have preachers, they have motivational speakers. I am not a motivational speaker. I'm a preacher. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul said to young Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That means when you get up to preach, there ought to be some rebuking there. There ought to be some reproving there. And of course, there needs to be some exhortation there, some encouraging. But when you preach, if you preach very long and you're not reproving or rebuking, you are not preaching. According to the Word of God, you are not preaching. And there is a lot of motivational speaking going on in churches and not a whole lot of preaching taking place anymore. Amen. It's true. You said, preacher, what are you doing this morning? I'm just reminding you, preaching is how God intended for people to get saved. It's through the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to quote you the verse here in a minute. But preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We need fiery preaching. We need fearless preaching. We need faithful preaching. We need preaching that is of sound doctrine. Convicting preaching. It's okay to come to church and get your toes stepped on every once in a while. It really is. If you go to a church and your toes aren't stepped on every once in a while, I'm not talking about every Sunday somebody beating you up. But I'm talking about every once in a while, your toes should get stepped on if you come to a real church. And if your toes aren't getting stepped on, you need to go someplace else. Listen, we need that. We need that as children of God. We need that. We need that. That encouragement. We need convicting preaching. We need revival preaching. We need straightforward preaching. We need compassionate preaching. Yes, prayerful preaching. Powerful preaching on the blood and on sin and on the old black book. Amen? And here's the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You say, well, who made it? Who put the pulpit at the center of the worship service? Who made preaching the main thing of the worship service? The Lord did. And absolutely, at Heritage Baptist Church, we're going to continue to put the preaching at the forefront. The pulpit at the forefront. Whether it's me here preaching or someone else preaching, the pulpit needs to remain the center of every worship service. Not the singing. Not productions. Not dramas. But the preaching of the Word of God. That is God's prescribed manner in which people are to get saved. Stay in the old paths. We need to stand for soul winning and stand for Bible preaching and stand for biblical separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We've got many, many, many. We know we're living in the last days when we know that many churches today no longer even mention the word sin. It's not even in the preacher's vocabulary anymore. In fact, some of them are even proud of it. But the Bible makes it clear that's what we should be doing. There should be a call to holiness. A call to holiness. There is a doctrine going around about They call it the grace movement, which is absolutely false. Grace was given to us that we might live godly. Grace wasn't given us so we can go around a license to do whatever we want. Grace was given to us to empower us to live a holy life. And Christians, we're still called to holiness. God, Jesus said himself, "Be holy for I am holy." We're called to be separated. We're called to live lives that are separate. We're called to live lives, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but we're called to go out in the workplace and live as Christ would live. We're called to follow Jesus. We're called to follow in Jesus' steps, to live a life that's pleasing to him. And sometimes it's good for me. I enjoy it. About once or twice a month, I go get preached to by my fellow peers, by other preachers. It's called a fellowship meeting. And I show up, and usually there's three preachers, and they all just let it loose. Some of y'all have been to some of these. I mean, they preach hard, they preach heavy, and I enjoy getting my toes stepped on. I want to hear preaching that's straightforward. I want to be encouraged and convicted. I do. And I believe most Christians understand that. And most Christians want that. We need separation today. We need Bible separation, biblical separation. Again, that immorality, abortion, immodest dressing, fornication, adultery, pornography, rock music, country music, lying, cheating, missing church, not tithing, not witnessing. I can make a list. What we have today is most churches won't name them, you know, because that's judging. And we don't want to judge anybody. I'm not the judge. I simply take the Word of God, and it judges. Reprove, rebuke from the Word of God. We must stand firm on biblical separation. We today live in a society where anybody can call themselves a Christian and do whatever they want. A Christian means a disciple of Christ, someone who's Christ-like. That's what it means. We live in a society today where people will call themselves Christians and still go to the bar. You're not a Christian. If you go to the bar, you may be saved, but you're a backslidden Christian. You're not a Christian. A Christian's Christ-like. Preacher, be careful. Okay, I will. I know what I'm doing. Call yourself a Christian and you're cussing your employee out? Or you can cuss your employer out? It's not being Christ-like. Well, preacher, you offended me by not calling me a Christian. I'm just saying you're not following the pattern of Jesus. A Christian is somebody who's Christ-like. Somebody who is a Christian should follow in the steps of Jesus. People will call them, you're around them. Christianity has become ineffective today, unlike 30, 40 years ago, because Christians are no longer living it as a whole. Now, I'm glad for the remnant. I'm glad, and I rejoice for people who are staying by the stuff and living it. But we are called to holiness. We are called to practice what we preach. Stand by biblical separation. Lastly, we must stand firm in the old-fashioned fundamentals. The word fundamentals taken a bad rap, all right? And we don't use it a lot as much anymore because of the Islamic faith. But we are independent Baptists. That means we are not connected to any particular group, that we are independent. We're fundamental Baptists. Fundamental simply means we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. All right, when you go today and get in your car, you're going to start your car. If it has no gas, it will not go. A car requires gas. If you have no spark plugs in your engine, it will not go. It will not start. If you have, there are certain things a car has to have in order for it to run. There are certain things. There are certain doctrines. There are certain teachings in the Bible that are required and for us to have eternal life. Fundamentals of the faith. The Bible is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. That is a fundamental of the faith. We learned that when Brother Stewart was here. Just what a tremendous Bible conference we had. We believe the Bible is the inerrant, inspired, the very Word of God. We believe in the virgin birth, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We believe that. You say, preacher, you really believe? I believe it without a doubt. Not a doubt in my mind. In fact, my hope, my eternal existence rests upon it. I believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ, that His blood shed on Calvary saved me from my sins, covered my sins. I believe that 3 days later He rose again from the dead. That's the fundamentals of the faith. And I believe He's returning again bodily for me someday. That the trumpet's going to sound, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the... I will return. Amen? I believe that. Not a doubt in my mind. Heritage Baptist Church still stands there. We stand with the Bible. We stand for the virgin birth. We stand for the atonement of Jesus Christ. We stand for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We stand for knowing that Christ will return someday. Those are the fundamentals of the faith. We haven't bent, we haven't bowed to anyone. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, His death, and His resurrection. The greatest experience of my entire life was at the age of 6 years old when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I don't want you to get any idea that I'm mad about it this morning. I'm not mad about what I believe. I'm excited about what I believe. I'm excited that what I believe is truth found in the Word of God, not by tradition of men, but truths found in the Word of God. I believe that soul winning is the purpose of the church and must remain the heart of the church, reaching people for Jesus Christ. I understand, again, baptizing them and disciple of them, absolutely the commission of the church. I believe that preaching should stay the center focus. I believe in the preeminency of preaching. In the church, that it must remain the number one thing in the worship service. I absolutely believe in biblical separation, that we are called to be holy, that we are called to be holy. We are called to live Christ-like lives. And that from the pulpit and from the, whether it's Brother Clark or Brother Cox or Brother Wiggins or Brother Jantz or Brother Fiesler or Brother Latta, whomever it is, should be also taught in the Sunday school classes. Holiness unto the Lord. And then I believe in the fundamentals of the faith. I believe Jesus Christ lived, He died, He rose again from the dead. And that through Him, and only through Him, I can have eternal life. In fact, Jesus' own words in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said Himself, I am the way. He didn't say I'm the best way, part of the way, or kind of the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to escape hell and have a home in heaven. And I hope, again, at the age of 6 years old, I accepted Him as my Savior. The best decision I ever made. It's changed my life. It has changed my life for the better. Jesus said He came not only to give us life, eternal life, but to give us life more abundant now. You say, well, why don't I experience joy in my life, preacher? Why don't I experience happiness, continual, joy in my life? Well, maybe you don't have Jesus. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, because in Jesus you can have real joy. Amen. Joy. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And then primarily this morning, the message has been for our church family and for Christians that are gathered here this morning. Let's continue to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go forward in the old paths. Not leaning to the right or leaning to the left, but let's continue forward, straight, the narrow path. Amen. Nehemiah said, come, let us build the walls of Jerusalem. And I again encourage you, family, church family, let us come. Let's build the walls of the Heritage Baptist Church. Let us continue to reach out. Let us continue to go soul winning. Let us continue to reach out to our community. The Bible says there in Nehemiah that they said, let us rise up and build. In conclusion, I preached this sermon in September of 1994 in my first pastorate at the age of 20. I preached the same message in April 1998 when I became senior pastor of Lakeland Baptist Church in Fort Worth. I preached the same message early on in Heritage Baptist Church's beginnings. The same message, almost word for word. Still in my old handwriting. Told you I had a plan this morning. Still preaching it. Amen. Almost verbatim. Stand firm in the faith. From 1994 to now, you don't have to change. Amen? A church doesn't have to compromise. A church needs to stand firm.